give away the ending of this before we start. If you guys already know the story, so you're going to be seen in suspense. Noah survives, alright? His family beats his first blood, and the main theme of the story is going to be that we were created for a relationship with God. Separates us from God, and God makes a way for us to be restored to Him. If that theme sounds familiar, it was also the theme last week and the week before that, kind of taking the whole scripture, actually, when you get into it. So get used to that theme, you're going to be hearing it a lot. But one of the challenges with this particular story is that you have probably heard it all your life. If you grew up in church for sure, maybe if you didn't grow up in church, you probably heard this story a lot of times. You probably have a picture book, maybe like a little playset with a picnic figurine where you can see animals go up on the ark. Perhaps when I say we're going to talk about Noah in the ark, you imagine like singing vegetables telling you this story or something like that. And so the challenge for us is to approach this and see, okay, what is there new that we can see? What might God say to us in a new and fresh way that maybe doesn't know with the way the story goes in our minds. I talked to him today, a couple of days ago, with my son Aaron, and I said, we're talking about this weekend, what our plans were. I told him I was going to be preaching. And he said, I'm going to be talking about Noah. He said, actually, you know that story, right? He said, oh, yeah. He said, the people were all bad, and God was very angry. So he sent a flood to kill them all, and Noah built a boat, and two of every kind of animal was saved from the flood. So that's basically the story that presents that. Was God angry? But that's the way we see it. And as I read through the portion of Exodus that we're going to look at, I do not see wrath as God's punishment. We'll see that I think it also responds to wickedness. And God can get angry if He wants. Right? I'm not here to say God never gets mad. The wrath of God is a real thing. It happens. But in this story, we can still see a different response from God. So let's set the scene just a little bit before we jump in. Okay, first of all, 1,500 years have passed since last week. So, Cain and Abel happened 1,500 years ago. So generations have come and gone since that time. People are living a very long time. So in spite of the fact it's been over 1,000 years, Noah's grandfather Methuselah, who's the longest recorded lifespan of anyone in scripture, was over 900 years. Lived in a long time to 8 times 7. So the earth is growing in population, but they still feel connected. And people know who God is, it's great in the past now. But people are becoming increasingly they're not walking with God. And so as people get further and further from God, they become more and more wicked, more distant from God. In fact, if you read through Genesis 4, Genesis 5, in those 1,500 years, the Bible tells us about one person who walked with God in those 1,500 years. One person was faithful to God. And more than 1,000 years, that is a tremendous amount of wickedness. So that's where we pick up the story. And we're going to read the verse 6. I'm going to read, like I said, a lot of scripture. Now, the method of determining this morning, I'm going to read some scripture. I'll stop and make a point and I'll try and find my place again and keep going. So bear with me just a second. If I'm looking down, trying to find my place. But we're going to start reading verse 5 of Genesis 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only to the people continually. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. I want to start in verse
think it's sort of glossed over and go, oh, people were pretty bad. Right? People were rough. It was a bad time. But every step got to the start of the whole money. But Noah, I'm grateful to the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. kingdom. And then the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with finance. And so God looked on the earth and the kingdom was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come for you. Thank you. means that there's no injustice. That God sees this, and God didn't just look and see injustice. God is still seeing, and God is still looking. And when God sees this, we know what his passion is. The Lord is the creation. The Lord is the creation. And if any of you are parents whose children have made decisions that you knew were going to cause them pain, and cause them not to move up to the dreams and the prayers you prayed over them when they were little, and you need to understand who is the creation that God calls when his father is broken, struggling, and causing sin. And God longs to be with us for this holy relationship. He needs to be with him. And so God judges. God will judge. Now, why does God judge? He judges according to his own righteousness. He judges with an avalanche of questions. And God can judge immediately. But think about this. God looks and saw the wickedness of his enemy. And then it was almost a 100 years before he started making promises. But when God says, let there be light, how long was it before it was light? When God said, you know, let there be dry land, there was dry land. God could have said, I will wipe out the world with a flood. Bam! And it happened. Wait, why? Because of one of the things that is not to God. That is that God limits the judgment, makes a way of salvation. And so we see this about God, and you will see this about him play out throughout scripture, even in your own life. The Lord sees, the Lord treats sin, which is separated from him. The Lord will judge, and in his judgment, he will make a way for our salvation, he will provide a way. What about Noah? A couple things that we see about Noah is number six. First of all, Noah walked with God. So Noah, we think, we come to the beginning of the chapter, he's already walked with God. So he has the knowledge of who God is, and he's determined to be faithful, to follow him. Because of that, Noah obeyed completely. God said it, Noah did it. Imagine for a second if Noah was fully obedient. Let's suppose he built the first three quarters of the ark. How would that have worked out? We wouldn't have to write up. It required Noah to be totally, completely obedient. And the same is true for us. If we want the blessings of God in our life, it requires us to be totally, completely, 100% obedient, faithful. Another thing to think about in this is that Noah can do this once at a time. So God lays all this on Noah. Here we go. It's going to rain. A lot of people say, we didn't know it rained before. You got to build a boat. This is perhaps the first boat ever built. I didn't even know what it was. Two of every kind of animal are going to be on this boat. Noah's got to be thinking, all right, how am I going to gather them up? Right? Those are all kinds of questions. But like, if I'm having this conversation with God, I got to say, I got to figure out, oh, hold on, I got to know about this, and when are we going to do that? And God didn't say, the rain's going to start in this day. All he said is, build. And you know what Noah did? Grab the board. Got to work. He started somewhere. And in your life, maybe you know the long-term plans that God has for you. Maybe you don't. More likely, you don't. More likely, you know the one thing that God is calling you to be obedient to today. The one step that God says that you take. Someone might think and say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The idea is that I have nothing on my feet. I'll take the next steps. I'll write into my path. It's not final to 2 miles down the road. It's enough light to take the next steps of obedience to the next step of faithfulness. And Noah had to be willing to do that, to take that one next step, to start with the word and start getting to work. In fact, it's this faithfulness that is called out in Hebrews chapter 11. That Noah, part of the everyday man of faith, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared his heart for the saving of the household, so he could condemn the world and be heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so Noah is one of the very first examples in scripture of Thank you. Churchill and a big race course. You know, somebody said to me about last week, remember I had rained like all month, and was like, oh, that's great, you get to preach about Noah, and it's been written in Delaware for 40 days. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what this is. This is a totally different kind of thing that's happening here. So the very foundations of these roads are broken open, and how come all of these miles, so much so, that every bit of dry land sounds just totally wet out. Thank you. the whole thing set out over the course of each year. They went through these difficult trials. Why? I think God was trying to say, life is like that sometimes. You are going to go through storms. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be unfolding. But it may be seen as the very thing that is difficult, that is challenging, that is trying you. It could be the very thing that God is using to serve your soul and carry you through and make you into the person that He wants you to be. But they were in the boat for a long time. Storm was raging outside, in the city, inside. So a couple of things from chapter 7. First of all, the destruction was complete. Everything was annihilated, just as God said. All of us, except for the marine state, for what God did say about them. They didn't know it. In fact, what God is doing here through this judgment, through this flood, is He's taking away all of that hatred, all of that pervasive evil that filled the earth and made it so people life was horrible, life was not the way that God created for it to be. And He's restoring it to the way He wanted it to be in the first place. He's making it new. He's redeeming it. He's bringing it back to its original design. It's exactly what God does for each and every one of us. We are created. We start making decisions that take us further away from God. Maybe other people's decisions affect us, but we feel the weight of their sins. But God takes us right away. He always takes us back away. He recreates us. He restores us. He brings us back to the way that we're created. He restores us to the blessing that He had in mind for us from the very beginning. Thank you. and get his own deliverance, and be part of the remnant, and be saved, and experience salvation. I don't know how long God will leave that door open. Revelation is clear that a day of judgment is coming in the future. It won't be by a flood this time. But God will judge the world for its wickedness and for its evil. And death is the door to salvation. Stands open for anyone who will walk through. Because God still sees all of our sins. God still judges. But God still saves. Maybe you're here this morning. You are in the middle of the storm. Maybe the circumstances of your life are making you sleep today. Maybe you're away from the storm. What do you have to do with it? All of you have to do with it, especially if you want to do it. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I know what God wants in his possible circumstances to do. To come to him, to call out. To take away the mess of all the sin, to wash it clean. And to make it part of the circumstances to be the door of salvation to be open for anyone who will walk through it today. And if that's something that you would like to talk about, perhaps maybe you're one of the pastors or somebody sitting in your row, we'll just quickly talk to you about how to experience the salvation of God. Everyone who's been blessed with the